Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute podcast. Today, I have Kathleen with me. If you've heard Kathleen on the podcast before, we have such an amazing time integrating what we are learning about ourselves. She has been my student slash client, also my teacher, my friend, my everything. You know, when you do this work and you start to have this deeper self-trust and self-discovery, you start to realize that there is no student, there is no teacher. We're all just learning from each other and our experiences. And that's when it's been some of the most powerful conversations, both I think for me and for Kathleen and for other people who are listening, when we just integrate what are we learning in these deeper ahas that we have together. And so as we've been going deeper into understanding our relationship to ourself and our bodies and our health, what are the biggest takeaways that we're having? And what does this journey really look like? Especially because this is a very unconventional path. No one tells you some of these things that are going to come up that you need to navigate when you want to get healthier. And so we have to start thinking different. We have to think in unconventional ways. We have to start doing things different, being different, showing up different in order to have a really different experience. And so I think that this has been really fun to have these conversations. What we're going to talk about today is this is right around the time where maybe we had that initial spark of motivation that's really common around the beginning of January, but then maybe around like end of January, February time is where sometimes motivation kind of wanes a little bit and then the reality sets in. This time period is actually known as like the Valley of Despair. This is where you, it's interesting. It's this process is actually it's like a roadmap of what you can expect of what happens to people when they're taking on new businesses, when they're taking on new health goals. But you start off where like you're very enticed, you're motivated, this idea comes in and you're super excited. And then when you move to the next phase, you're like, I don't really know if I can do it, but I'm optimistic. And you're like, I'm going to take this on, right? And then the next stage happens where you're like, oh, shoot, this is hard. And all of my old behaviors are still actually here, even though I mentally want this. And then you move to the next stage, which is the Valley of Despair, which is where you're like, you're in desperation. You're like, this is hard. This is really uncomfortable. And you're at a crossroads. Do you give up and you want to go back until you get motivated from the next shiny thing of promises? Or do you lean in and you practice and you start building confidence? And then as you start building up this evidence that you can do it, now you start building traction again. So, Kathleen, welcome. I know you are probably familiar with hitting those moments of the Valley of Despair. I know I have been there. And we're starting to get both to the place where we are building this optimism and this self-trust on the other side. And that's where we reach fulfillment is when we start accumulating that evidence. But sometimes the journey doesn't look pretty. But today we want to talk about what are some of the biggest lessons that we have learned about going through these cycles of having New Year's resolutions and what creates that lifelong, sustainable motivation, habit building, so that you're actually creating this confidence in a lifestyle versus just something you got motivated and then it fizzled out in frustration. So thanks for coming back, Kathleen.
Thank you, Gina.
Have you had that before, those cycles of where you're like, I'm going to do it this year and those, you know, that spark of motivation and then it fizzles out? Yes. Have you had that experience?
I have had that experience and it's a real bummer, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is because sometimes you start the year, like usually happens around New Year's, let's say it's a resolution or any time of the year, but that's when we all kind of get on board. Seasons are changing and people are talking about it. And I have done that in the past. And then sometimes you get really involved, like, this is my time. I'm going to do it. I know I can. And you surround yourself with all the things. You might get a new workout outfit. You might invest in new tennis shoes, something like that. You know, whatever your goal is, or maybe it's some on the food side, you're going to be buying certain things. And then you get down the road, just like you said, and all these things happen along the path. And then you get stuck in this valley of, oh no, what I really wanted the outcome, but now it doesn't happen. And so I guess this isn't, you kind of go back to saying, well, I guess this isn't who I am. And you go back to your, what's comfortable.
Yeah, that, and it's tempting, even though it doesn't feel good, it's tempting to go back to the old version of ourselves that feels really familiar, because actually venturing out into this new identity of like, am I the type of person who exercises and takes care of themselves? That's unknown territory that can actually, we think that we want it, but can feel actually kind of scary almost to have the very thing that we want.
Exactly. And go ahead, Gina.
I remember when you and I did an exercise a long time ago where we actually explored the fears around having what we want. And sometimes that's actually really enlightening when you ask yourself, what are the fears that I have around having what I want? And sometimes there's more fears around actually getting what we want. And it feels more comfortable to be where we don't want.
It's so true. I remember when you had us do that exercise. And I mean, it was difficult because this is where you're really tapping into your inner self to answer those questions. And you were asking like, well, what is it that you fear about getting what you want? When you first say it, you're like, oh, come on, what could I be afraid of? You know, winning $1 million, you know, nothing. I'm not afraid at all. But when you're talking about, you know, changing yourself, losing weight or becoming active or getting off of medications, those kind of goals, and you ask yourself, well, that question, wow, I know one of the things that came up for me was, well, what if I'm not good enough? That was the answer that I had, was what if I'm not good enough to have that be at a certain weight or to be able to dress a certain way? And that was something laying deep, deep down. I didn't even know that until starting to write. And that was very helpful in getting that out of me. So I understood that. And then also, how do I go forward with that? Like, how do I address that and build up my confidence to know that?
Yeah. When,
yeah.
That's wow. That's so beautiful. Like when I did that exercise, I was kind of in a place where I was like, I feel very close. Like I've come so far in healing my relationship to health and with my food. I feel like I've come so far and I'm so good, but there's this little piece that's unresolved. And so I asked myself that question, what do I actually fear around having completely healthy relationship to food and health? And what I didn't realize was in there was I'm afraid that if I do fully heal this, then I won't relate to the people that I work with anymore or my work. I won't actually have that. I won't have any understanding of where they're at anymore because I know this works so well because I have such an intimate journey with it. And so it's so interesting when you actually give yourself permission to say, what do I fear around having what I want? It's actually surprising. I think we came up with a whole long list of like, there's actually a lot of fears around having what I want. I know some people have had fears around like, I'm actually afraid of looking better, or I'm afraid that my body will change and I still don't like how I look, or I'm afraid that I'll have to start dating and I'm not ready to do that, or people will talk about my weight loss, or there's like these hidden fears in our subconscious that are actually making us resist the thing that we want.
Yes, I agree with that. All those fears, I can see that. And even how it would affect your relationships with people. Like if you lose this weight and you look differently and then you might act differently, then you could be fearing, oh, how would this affect my relationship with my partner? I mean, a lot of these things come to mind.
Yeah. Or your friends. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes we build community and friendships over our struggles. And now what if you're not struggling with that thing anymore? Or your friends like to eat unhealthy and you don't share that bond anymore. Are you going to lose your relationships and your friendships?
Yes.
Which can give us a lot of compassion, right? For when we want something so badly, but we're like, where is this resistance coming in? Or as soon as I take a couple steps forward and I lose 5 pounds or I get a little bit healthier, but then it seems like I sabotage it for a reason. Maybe there is actually a deeper reason in our subconscious that we're not even aware of.
Exactly. It's a real struggle. It's a real part of the struggle because here you could be able to achieve these things that you're thinking, oh, I don't know if it's eating a certain way, being comfortable with your foods, being healthy, losing weight. You actually have like the ability, skills, knowledge, you can gain all that and do it, but your thinking can slow you down or get you off track.
That's actually like it. That's like you completely hit the nail on the head that is this work is looking at where is your own mind keeping you from the thing that you think that you want, because we're not short of resources on how to eat healthy, right? You can do it for free. You don't even need a coach. You don't need a nutritionist. You can Google how do I eat healthy, and you'll probably get all of the resources that you need within 10 minutes and you can do it. So where does the resistance come in? Where are the blocks? I mean, even we can come up with every excuse in the world. I don't have the money to eat healthy. I don't have the time to eat healthy. Guess what? You can buy a bundle of bananas for like a dollar. You can find recipes for under 10 minutes. Like, there's actually no reason. And when you start to see that and you take full responsibility that you're like, I am exactly where I'm at in this position right now. And I accept full responsibility that it's all the decisions that I made. And I might not understand why, but then we can actually give ourselves the freedom to look at, okay, why am I resisting the thing that I want? Why am I getting in my own way? And then it gets interesting.
Yes. And how about this, Gina? How about the aspect that sometimes it's usually so much easier to see these things that you just said, I don't have time, I don't have money, I don't have convenience. We can see those as excuses when other people say them. Easily, like, when
yes,
says, well, you know, I have this job and I have kids and I have to get this and I can that, I don't have time for that. And you just sit back and be like, these are all excuses. You're just holding yourself up. But when it comes to ourselves, we just don't see it clearly like that. We have to take all these steps, like you said, writing, like asking the question, what am I afraid of? Meditating on that, talking, like working on it. It's, and I think sometimes it is when you see it in others. If you can catch that moment and reflect on it for yourself, that's powerful. But often we just push through that.
Mm-hmm.
We just judge somebody else or see it in somebody
else. That's a great point.
Often we love that other person. And so we try to encourage them right away.
Yeah. It's easier to give advice.
Right. There's no way you can't do this. I know you can do it. You're in control. But we don't do that love for ourselves.
Yeah.
It doesn't, usually that gets pushed to the background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that can be really hard to decide when we are going about our goals. Do we share them or do we keep them to ourselves privately? And we've gone back and forth on like, what is the best thing to do? You know, the pros and the cons. What are your feelings around that when we're taking on a new goal? Do we proclaim it to the world? Do we share with everybody? Do we keep it to ourselves? What do you think?
I think this is a great topic because I've encountered it and experienced it in different ways. Sometimes sharing, sometimes not, sometimes sharing a little bit. And each issue that comes up, you might treat it a little differently. It's okay to sometimes put up boundaries to protect yourself if you're not in a very safe environment of sharing, you know, if you know people are going to be critical. But honestly, I have found a lot of empowerment with sharing. Even when it's scary, even with a friend, even a new friend, a coworker, because once you proclaim something like, yes, I'm leaving early today, I'm going swimming. And then you're like, they might be looking at you like, you're a swimmer. I don't know what they're thinking, but in your head, you start to do that. Then it opens you up for discussion because then they may say, oh, where do you swim at? How often do you swim? How's that working for you? So now you've shared and depending on where you are in your journey and your self-confidence, you could either say, you know, you could either take that and start thinking, oh, now they're judging me. I can never give this up because they're going to be watching for me to lose weight. Or you can just be like, this is where I am. No matter what the results are, my inner self is not based on the results or my physical aspect. I'm not going to, for example, swimming to check the box, like this is something in my resolution, I have to do this. This makes me feel good and it gets me towards my goal. So I'm really proud to share that. And then I've noticed people get encouraged and then they share something with you and you learn something.
Yeah.
So So it's more healing to share, even though we can have those hangups of being afraid. Once you do it, it kind of gets a little addicting. You want to start telling everybody. And then people will start coming to you knowing like, oh, she knows about nutrition. I'm going to ask her about this. Or, yeah, does she have a good recipe for this? And then you're like, I'm so glad I shared, because now they help you to keep the topic going. And then you feel you gain this self-confidence without even knowing. Like, wow. This is where I am. This is who I am. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And you feel good. I'm sure the endorphins just start flowing.
Yeah.
Because it's this alignment.
It does feel like a deeper level of self-love is mm-hmm. giving yourself permission to say, this is who I am, in the fear of judgment, that people might be watching me, people might be judging me, but to be brave and courageous enough to say, so what?
Yes.
So what? This is who I am evolving into. And I don't have to, it doesn't have to look a certain way that society wants it to. And I think that the identity piece is the most probably powerful transformation tool, that when we believe that we're someone who is just on and off and struggling and like, oh, I don't want to share in case I sabotage this, or in case it looks like you're already firming up that identity for yourself of like, I'm already counting on the fact that I won't be doing this, I'm going to be sabotaging. And I think that like some of the people that I've learned from, that I've really grown from, like Maxwell Maltz, he says that the mental image of yourself is the strongest force within you. And that whatever you believe is true about yourself, your behaviors are going to follow. And one of my other favorite books is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And he talks about the science of habit building. And he talks about how like our self-image, when we start to put ourselves in a tribe of people who can help us, they're like casting a vote. Like when you're in a tribe of people and you're like, this is my group, these are my friends, we swim together, we do these things together, they're reflecting back the identity that you're creating for you, that you're identifying like within a tribe or within the habits or the things that you're doing. And every time you do a habit, it's like casting a vote for the person that you are. And then every time you believe that you're that person, your habits follow. And it's like this beautiful cycle of evolution and growth. But if we don't believe, and we're afraid to share it because we don't believe that it's true, then we end up already creating like a space of, I might go back, or I might. And it doesn't mean we have to be perfect. Like, that doesn't mean you have to swim every day just because you told the world, I love swimming now. And now you're like, oh my God, I'm accountable that I have to swim every day forever. It's like a deeper level of self-love that you're like, and some days I'll honor myself and say no. And some days I'll do something else. And it might be a phase. So what if this month is my swimming phase? And then later I'm like, now I'm moving into a new phase. Now I like something different. Can we love ourselves enough to not judge that it means anything?
Yes, I love that you brought up that of treating it as a phase, because I think that's where people can really suffer if you don't treat it like that, because you can be like, really get down on yourself and say, yeah, as you said, setting yourself up for failure by thinking, well, I probably won't be able to do this, so I don't want to tell anybody. But if you do tell somebody and then it happens, you might not be successful at the thing you try, but knowing it's okay. Excuse me, because you're learning. And then you can say, if somebody came up to you, it's so comforting and powerful to be able to say like, oh yeah, and they come up and check and say, we're using that swimming example, how's it going with swimming? If you let go of swimming for whatever reason, it's okay. Even if you wanted, even if you wanted to keep up with it, but you just went back to the old ways, don't hurt yourself over it. Don't judge yourself. Just say, oh my gosh, you know what? I've moved on, or I'm trying something else. Next month's my new thing, because that'll hold you back from even trying the other thing.
Exactly.
We're just learning anyway. Like, you know, I've heard a lot of people who try running and then they're like, this was horrible. I got a million blisters. My knees started hurting. I'm off running. I didn't judge them for being off running. They told me why they're off of it. Right. They just, it wasn't for them. So I think that for me, I can say, probably looking back in the past, if I didn't succeed at something health-wise, then you do feel bad about yourself. And that's why I think a lot of times then people gain more weight, right? After some kind of a diet thing, because mm-hmm. now you feel bad and now you're seeking that comfort from food even more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really powerful. And to remember that when we're afraid of judgment, Like if we think someone is judging us, it's coming from within us. So judgment is really starting from within ourselves. We have to remember that too.
Yeah, so, that's a good one to remember for sure, because I don't think we think about it that way.
Yeah. So, and I think when we talk about like setting goals too, since like we're on this identity piece, I know for me personally, shifting the way that I set goals from this doing, you're going to exercise this many days a week, you're going to meditate, you're going to da, 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 da. And then it's like you're trying to force something, but there was no internal shift. And I know like for me personally, goal setting became easier when I just could focus on who's the person that I want to show up as and allowing like the goals or the behaviors to follow through there. I think things get a lot easier from there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because that's where you die out of your enthusiasm. You can't just check a box every day. That's not fun. You know, even if you, it just, you can't sustain that. But if you're connecting to, why am I taking these supplements? Why am I drinking water every day? Why am I doing this? And it's really good to do, it comes out a lot in journaling, I find. Like usually you'll ask a question and I'll journal out or, you know, just contemplate on. And then you're like, well, I'm doing this because I want whatever it is. I want to feel good. I want to be able to move around without pain. I want to look cute. I want to, whatever it is. Then you can start connecting to that and why you're doing those things. And I think that's where you can start giving your permission for when you make a boo-boo, because this is your own goal, yeah. You know? And then you start connecting internally to your body too, of what is my body want? How does it feel? Like if I get up and I force myself to go exercise when my body is hurting, or I force myself to have some kind of a vegetable or some food item, that bone broth or something that I'm not craving, but I know it's so helpful for me. Well, then I'm really not doing the right thing for my body anyway. I'm not helping it anyway. I'm forcing it to take on something as I'm not listening to it.
But what do you do if all that your body is telling you is that it wants couch and potato chips?
Well, then I would probably go back to my goal planning and say, like, I can't do that every day.
Yeah.
And to get me the end result I want, right?
And I also think too that there's growth in learning to also differentiate the difference between like what is a mind craving and me being like, oh, I want this, I want to sit on the couch. Oh, yeah. But really, if we laid on the couch for days and ate potato chips, like, would we feel our best selves? Like, does our body really need that? Would we feel full of energy? Would we feel amazing? Like, no, when you sit on the couch, you spend like an entire day on the couch, you're like, oh, like you feel heavy, right? And you have a day that like maybe you're pushing yourself a little and you're moving your body and these things that are like naturally inherent, like things that our bodies like to do, like gentle movement, water, taking care of ourselves. We actually typically feel energized from it in general. Sometimes we need rest days and stuff, but I think that there's this path of getting to know ourselves deeper and using these practices to go deeper as a way of learning and differentiating between when is this a mind desire and when is my body communicating. And it's cool, you've gotten really good at that too, to know how does your body speak to you with different movements and activity, different foods, and it creates such deep self-trust. What's actually so cool is you have such deep self-trust that now you rarely ever want to miss a day of swimming because you know that your body loves it. Mm-hmm. And when you don't get it, then you're like, okay, what do I need? What does my body need? It's really cool to watch you let your body guide all of your, with your food, your activity. It's pretty cool.
Thank you. And I think you're totally on right on this topic, and talking about like the potato chips, you think you want to sit on the couch and have potato chips and watch TV or whatever. And you're right. It makes me think of that movie, Super Size Me, where the guy eats McDonald's every day.
Yeah.
I mean, within a couple of days, he feels horrible, horrible. So you really, it's not a desire. And it's very true. I can come home and old way would be, okay, you just worked a hard day. It's time to sit on the couch, have a little snack, put TV on, But I worked my way through understanding that was habit. I didn't really want that. Now I check in with myself and be like, oh, I have a lot of energy. Let's go ahead and just go straight to cooking dinner, or let's do some laundry first. Or I've even been like, you know, it's beautiful outside. I'm going to sit outside and do a meditation. And it's just checking in with like, do I really want to sit again? I've been at a desk all day. Maybe it's a walk. And it is getting into this habit of the chips, like you said, or the habit of sitting. You probably don't want that at all, but it's just gotten to be a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is actually cool when you start to live more in your body and you create the self-trust with your body. It seems like you need less motivation and willpower, where I think before, when I was just living in my mind and setting mind-based goals, like do this, do that, I think I had to use a lot of motivation to like, do this, don't eat that. But it's become easier now that I can just go into my body and check in and be like, let's see, does my body want this movement or does it want rest? Does it want this food or does it that want that food? And usually my body doesn't actually want the unhealthy. And it doesn't mean I don't ever eat unhealthy foods, because I do sometimes, but it's requires less motivation, I think, and less willpower.
I totally agree. This morning I was trying to, I was hungry. I was like, okay, I'm hungry. And I, you know, touched in with myself and I was thinking like, okay, what am I going to eat? I had a salad for breakfast today.
You did?
I had a salad for breakfast, but I didn't. I just was like, no, I don't want eggs. I don't want a bread item. It was just really checking in. I'm like, I want something light. I want something flavorful. I want a lot of colors on my plate. And I want, because I want to be active today and I want to feel like this. Boom, boom, boom. Then I was like, oh, these are the foods that will make me feel like that. And it makes it easier because I'm not going on willpower. It's like exactly what you said. What do I need? How am I feeling? How do I have next? How do I want to feel in the next hour? Right. If I wanted to go to sleep and take a nap, I would have had hash browns and some carby things, and because it would knock me right out. Right. But that wasn't my goal. And my body would have probably kicked up and said, what did you do? Stuff us? You know, we can handle this. We have to go to sleep now. When you start realizing that's how your body reacts to foods too, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Than willpower.
And let's be real. Like, we also have hard days when like, we're like, that probably didn't honor what my body wants. And this is how I feel. Sure. Like, what is it like? I don't know. What is it like for you when those days come up, when you have had a hard day? And, you know, I still have those days. I mean, it's not like in the past where I remember having a lot of hard days and not knowing how to navigate it. And now it's very different experience than what it used to be. But what do you think about when there are hard days?
Yeah, you know, they're going to happen. So I think the best thing is not to beat yourself up about it.
Yeah,
because that was, like we said before, your mind can take you off track quickly and farther off track than you think. And it does happen. It does happen that sometimes you see the food, you're around a group maybe, and you're like, oh, I want that. But you never even checked in with yourself because you're like, oh, that looks so delicious. I want to have that where everybody's eating that. Yeah. And then later. But so for me, I like to check in with my body a lot. And if my belly isn't feeling good, then I'm like, listen, that did not work. You know, and I put it in my, I write it down like, this is not working, you know, like, you did it. It's okay. Tomorrow's another day. It's okay. We're going to keep winning this, you know, this is not a win fail scenario. But you just take it as a learning experience. Sometimes that just sounds it's kind of corny to say, but really it is, because then you learn something from it. Like, either you're started to judge yourself, or your belly might have started hurting, or you might say like, well, what the heck? I really liked it. Okay. Yeah. You're noticing something.
It sounds corny, but I can guarantee that almost everybody who struggles with this willpower and I didn't eat healthy doesn't actually do it. That we feel so much shame and like, oh, I'm just not going to do it again. Okay. I learned my lesson. I'll motivate myself to not do it again tomorrow, or I'll shame myself to not do it tomorrow. And that's not actually learning the lesson. That's just beating ourselves down. But when we can let go of the self-judgment and the self-talk, then we can really start asking those deeper questions. Like, one, how did my body feel? How did I respond? A lot of us are aware, okay, I felt bad. I didn't feel good, you know, but then we can peel back more layers. Okay, what was happening in that situation? How was I feeling? What was the setup? What got me into that space of not being mindful? And what's actually interesting is if we do enough journaling, we can see that, oh, this actually started way further back than before I was eating. Like, oh, I didn't sleep last night, or I had a really stressful day, or, oh, I didn't prepare and get myself the right groceries. Like, that's how we learn. And if you don't actually do anything with that lesson, then you're just waiting for it to happen again. It's just a matter of time. So I think if you can do the journaling and truly use it, as corny as it sounds, it's actually, I think, the most powerful tool you can have.
It is, because you start a self-dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, I know what some of my triggers are now. It took me time to learn all this, but, you know, if I have a stressful moment, like at work, I can notice that, like, you hear it around the office, somebody cracking open a Coke or going for the chips or something. It could, you know, it could sometimes be a stress moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this deadline, or somebody just said this to me, they're not agreeing with me. I noticed for myself that was a big thing for me, to sit back and be like, oh, you're worked up. You really are. But my mind will be searching for something. Well, what do I have? Do I have chips around? Do I have this? I really need something with a dip right now. This is what I've never even checked in to see that I was hungry. So now that I have this, like, wait, check in with yourself. Okay, you know what? Before we eat this, let's go outside for a 2-minute walk. Or if I'm in my office, I'll go put my hands over my head like jumping jacks 10 times.
Yeah.
Do a little stretch and then say, like, okay, do I still want those chips? And it's almost always no, you know, I'm not even hungry. So for me, that journaling, like you said, helped me figure out, like, oh, negative comments towards you, or, you know, environments or something, that you might be walking to a store and somebody's yelling, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Those might be triggers, like, for people. That's how I noticed it for myself. And then when I go through it again, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You just walked away from a hot dialogue, or you got directions that you don't agree with, you know? Then I know, like, just listen to that. You know, this is a trigger for you, and you really don't want to have a chip or a cookie or chocolate, you know?
Yeah. And that dialogue is what gives you your power back, just by taking the space to have that inner dialogue. Now you're understanding what's happening, and you're building self-trust is just by asking those questions. Even if you do give in and you're like, yeah, but I want to have the chocolate, you start to have the inner dialogue. You start to see why you're doing what you're doing. And then there can be points where, now that you have the awareness, you have the ability to choose. And it still might not be easy, because, yeah, Doritos while you're bored at work is good, and chocolate is great. Like, it's not going to make the food all of a sudden taste bad.
Right.
It's still good. It's still the easier path. But we can be in more of a space of choice, and we can feel the discomfort and be like, you know what? Maybe this discomfort with just being isn't as scary as I thought, or controlling me like I thought that it was. Or we take that radical ownership and that responsibility for, I'm choosing everything. Nothing is just automatically happening. Like, I'm making these choices.
And once you get through one of those moments, like you said, Gina, like a difficult moment like that, wow, do you feel good?
Yes. You build that self-trust. Yes.
You're like, I did this, even if it's to your own self. You know, I have had that happen where, I mean, I am just sitting in my head for 30 minutes thinking, what do I have that I want to eat chocolate so bad? And it's just so easy. Like, what do I have in the cabinet? What do I have in the cabinet? What do I have in the fridge? Do I have this? Do I have that? And my head could just be so focused on that. And I've never said, hey, body, are you hungry?
You get like tunnel vision and you forget there's anything else other than there must be chocolate in something that I could eat.
And then when you wait, like, even if you sit, like, if I sit for 30 minutes thinking of it, then I'll be like, well, you already went 30 minutes. You really, clearly, this wasn't an...
You're okay.
Your body wasn't needing this, or it was going to collapse, you know? And then when you say, like, yeah, I don't need this, and you walk out of that thought process, you just feel great.
Yes.
You really
you start to realize like this drama story that we create. Like, I must have that. I need the chocolate. I need, and then because you're so in it, like that tunnel vision. And then you start to realize, like, oh, wait a minute. This is funny. I just created this whole dramatic story. And then, like you said, like when you do overcome it, you're like, wow, it does feel so rewarding when you're like, I had my own back, and you're like, yes. Self high five, you know.
Exactly.
And we have to celebrate those things, right? And that builds momentum that we're like, if I can do it now, I can do it again. And I remember somebody in Mastering Mindfulness telling a story of how she really wanted ice cream, and she paused and was like, you know what, you don't need this right now. And decided to be brave enough to like close the freezer, walk away, and be with herself. And I remember she came back and she was like, I'm so proud of myself. I wish I could do that all the time. And I'm like, what? Like, you're already deciding, like, man, that was cool. I wish I could do it again. What if you actually just sat in like the joy of I had my own back and trusted that because I did it once, I can do it again. If I feel brave and I choose to and I want to, I can do it again and really believe in that.
I love that, because that's when you can go to your journal, or if it's in your head, but I know when I write it, it makes it more official. And you can say, this is who I am. I am the person who listens to my body. I am the person who has my own back. I was able to work through this issue. This is who I am and what I do. And then you're starting to build that image in your, and that trust in those words even of who you are.
Yep.
And then absolutely. She keeps doing that forever.
And then you also keep finding evidence of it. Like, yes, this is who I am. You start building a case for it, build up the evidence, you build up a case, and then the momentum keeps building, and the evolution comes from the identity and the evidence that you're doing it, and you're just unstoppable.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's addicting that way.
Yeah. And I think you said something really important too, that the journaling, I think, is such a powerful piece, that it helps you tap into that inner wisdom and those things that are true about yourself. And it helps you remember when you are struggling, this is how I support myself. And I know that journaling practice has been so powerful for you. It's been so powerful for me too.
It is. And I kind of, when you first brought this up, when we were working together, it wasn't something I just grabbed onto. It took some time, right? Yeah. And now I kind of got this little habit. I'm using that app with you, the Healthy app. And now I just make these like informal journals in a way, right? Because I'm just typing it in the app, like right in the moment, right on the fly. Like, this is how I'm feeling. I did this. This made me feel this way. And then when I go back, this happened recently, even just for like, okay, what am I going to do for my menu this week? I'm getting ready to go to the store. Oh, let me go back and see what the lunches I had that I loved. And then I saw my posts about things that weren't even on food, but like, oh, I did this today. It made me feel like this. And I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I should do that again this week. It's just how we are. We forget these things. Mm-hmm. And so getting it out, one, it helps you to have this historical document in a way, but also it helps you to, when you go to do it, it helps you acknowledge your feelings and acknowledge what you're doing. And that's a whole nother level of peeling that out of yourself and putting it on paper or online or whatever. So it's very meaningful in the moment for you and for going back and remembering things and being like, wow, that was a good lesson. Or, oh yeah, I love when I did that. That did make me feel like that. I forgot.
Mm-hmm. And that's what allows you, I think, to become really good at communicating with your body. Knowing what's the difference between hunger and craving is through feeling. Like, when you can start journal and you identify your feelings, that gets you into your body. That gets you in touch with everything that's happening inside of your body. And so it's actually a really powerful practice to heal the relationship to overeating in your body and cravings. And it actually gets you back in touch with the experience of living in your body.
I love that. It's just like when people say they want to get connected to nature, even though we are nature. But when we say that, we go outside.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh my gosh. So if you guys, you know, if you guys are on that a little bit uncertain, maybe on shaky ground, because you set some New Year's resolution goals, don't stress about it. Like, this is a lifelong thing. This isn't like a race to be perfect overnight just because you hit January 1st. Like, a date doesn't change anything. So give yourself the ability to say, like, this is a lifelong journey of growth and deeper learning. This isn't a race to be perfect, but a deeper trust and that, I mean, ultimately your health is a relationship between you and yourself and your body, right?
Exactly.
I think if we could recap on some of the most powerful things to really focus on so that we're creating lifelong health and not just a thing that we did for a month. Let's see, what do we talk about today? I think one, letting go of some of the judgment we have around starting and doing a thing, giving ourselves permission to take on some new identities and let go of the judgment and letting ourselves evolve. Having a regular journaling practice where we can reflect on these things and our experience and how our body is communicating to us. Is there anything that you want to share, Kathleen, before we head off that we missed that was a powerful takeaway?
I think just that I liked the one takeaway was taking everything as a learning lesson.
Yeah. And it really is. We can say that and it sounds like it's a cliche thing, but I think if you continuously follow the same patterns or behaviors or self-sabotage, learn from it, go deeper. If you need help, ask someone for help to help you unpack it, but don't let yourself just say, I'll never do it again and blow through with judgment. But using this as a way to get deeper into yourself and understanding yourself. And that's what this is all about. This is how we've both grown so much.
Exactly.
So much. Having a community or a tribe or people or friends, you know, not underestimating how everything influences you, the social media that you are watching, the news that you're watching, the things that you're reading, the books that you're reading, what's inspiring you, what's bringing you down, and surrounding yourself with things that are lifting you up and creating more self-trust, you know, more journaling and more introspection and getting those answers. And it's a really beautiful journey. So I hope that our experience has helped you guys a little bit and seen a little bit more of the path that we have been walking and left you with some newer ideas. Kathleen, thank you so much for sharing your intimate journey. It's very special and not a lot of people are brave enough to be here and do that, but I know it's really helpful and special.
Oh, thank you, Gina. I really appreciate the time with you.
All right, you guys, I hope you learned some great golden nuggets, and I will see you next time.